portion in my cup. You are the source of strength. Lord, you have filled me up.
You are my shepherd in the wilderness. Whom shall I fear? You are the God who goes before me, my rock and my shield. In troubled times you will provide, and I shall not fall. You are my God.
Though I walk through the valley of death, I will magnify and glorify you with every breath. When the wicked stand against me, I will follow as you lead. You are the truth, the way, the lamp into my feet.
You are my shepherd.
Simple message. It's not going to be real deep, but I hope it'll be to the point, and hopefully you'll get it. And as the Lord spoke to my heart, and Mark chapter 11, oftentimes when I preach out of this text, I preach about faith, and but that's not going to be the text this morning that I'm looking at. I got one simple verse I'm really going to look at. I'm going to read several verses, but one verse really spoke to me, and it's crazy because most time as I'm reading through the scripture, the Lord gives me messages. And this was one yesterday just sort of popped up. I hadn't been in Mark in several weeks, but it just came to my attention, and I felt like this is where we needed to be and got cemented on it, and this is where we are. So I hope we'll encourage you. Above all, I want you to know this. If you're not saved, Jesus loves you. Amen. He died for you. He rose again. Don't care what you've done. He can save your soul. And if you are saved, man, He wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use all of us. But Mark chapter 11, if you found your place, if you could stand with us, in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word, if you're unable to stand, you just remain seated where you are. Mark chapter 11, I want to begin reading, and the very early on, but understand the context of this, is Jesus' triumphant entry. We often call it Palm Sunday, and the reason we call it Palm Sunday, because according to John's Gospel, John chapter 12, they laid palm branches in front of the Lord Jesus Christ as He made His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. This just prior to Him being crucified for the sins of the world. But I'm glad He didn't stay dead. He got up 3 days later and rose again. But the context of this is Him coming in and making His triumphant entry. And we know this, John 1:11 still says, He, the Lord Jesus, came into His own and His own received Him not. He came and a few received Him, but the majority rejected Him. And I believe the same is true today. There's still a remnant. There's a nucleus of folks that receive Christ and trust Christ and live for Christ today, but the vast majority has gone another direction. They're searching for their own God, and the Bible's pretty clear about that too. Matthew chapter 7, of course, that's the parable of twos. As you study Matthew chapter 7, it talks about the two gates. Remember, there's a few that's heading down that narrow way, but there's many that are heading down that broad road. You say, what's the difference between many and few, preacher? I don't know, but many more are heading down the broad road than heading down the narrow way. The Bible says few. So just understand, on this day in Mark chapter 11, there was a few that received him, but the majority rejected him as he made his triumphant entry. Mark chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible said, when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. I remember several years ago being over at Mount Bethel, when Brother Steele preached that message out of verse number 3 about the Lord hath need of him. And just as the Lord needed this colt, I'll say this, he needs you and he needs me today. And we certainly understand that's not the message, but look at verse 4. And when they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. Now notice verse 7. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he, that being the Lord Jesus, and he sat upon him. Let's pray. Fathers, we bow, Lord, in your presence, God, again this morning. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing. Thank you for our young people. Thank you, Brother Brandon. Thank you, Sister Caitlin. Thank you for all that you're doing here at Faith Community Baptist Church. And Lord, I hope this singing has prepared our hearts, but sure has been a blessing to me. And I thank you for your word. I pray that you would add a blessing to the reading of it. I pray that you'd speak to every heart. If there's one listening today here present, or one listening by way of the live stream of the Facebook, I pray, God, that today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray for the child of God just needs some encouragement. I pray for that one that just needs to be loosed to some things today. Lord, I pray that you'd take the chains off. Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I'm your mouthpiece today. I pray that you'd use us, put the guard of God before our lips. I don't say anything that'll be contrary to the will of your will or your word or your way, God, today. I pray that you'd have the preeminence, help this preacher to decrease, that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. We're giving you thanks right now for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people see it. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We've read this text here out of Mark chapter number 11. Of course, we know the context and the literal account, historical account of the Lord Jesus making his triumphant entry there into Jerusalem. And this was a miracle in itself because he hadn't already been in there, but he knew that colt would have been tied. And that was a miracle because he knew all things. He still knows all things today. And there's a good point right there. There may be things you may think you can hide from somebody, but you cannot hide them from the Lord. You can go as far as you want to out into outer space. You can go as far as you want to in the heart of the earth like some of those folks do back up there in the coal miners of West Virginia. But you can't get away from the reach of God and from the vision of God. He knows where we are, but he knew this colt would be in there, and he told his disciples to go and to loose him. Now, it's interesting because I want to preach basically on verse number 7, a very simple message using this thought as it said there in verse number 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. If I could preach on just a statement or a thought today, it'd simply be this. How do you get the Lord to sit on you? How do I get the Lord to sit on me? I believe there's some principles that we need. You might say, well, man, I don't want the Lord sitting on me. You better want the Lord sitting on you. Not only do we need him on us, we need him in us. And there's some keys, there's some principles, there's some applications, I believe, very simple. I got one point and three subpoints underneath that, and we're going to go to the house here in just a second. But understand this, the Lord Jesus had this literal colt that he sat upon, and we get that. But the Lord wants to sit on my life. He wants to sit on your life and understand he wants to use me and he wants to use you. But the Lord could have never, you watch this now, the Lord could have never used that colt as long as he stayed tied up. Couldn't use him until he got loosed. Till he got unrestrained. Till he got unrestricted and unhindered from the hitching post. You know, I shared this with our 9 o'clock crowd. I love some of those old westerns. Now listen, Christy, get on to me sometime. Be watching old Clint Eastwood film, Brother Harold. And she said, why you even watch that? Because I'll be quoting what they're getting ready to say before they even say it. She said, why you even watch that stuff? I like John Wayne. I like the Clint Eastwood movies years ago. But, you know, if you watch them and they go into a certain town, they might pull up to a store or the saloon or whatever they're going into, and there's a post on the outside, and they'll take the reins and they'll tie that thing up and they'll tie their horse to the hitching post. I'm afraid there's too many of God's people that have got tied on to a hitching post. Now, as we look at the Word of God here, this colt was tied in a place where two ways met. Ain't that what the Bible said? There's a hitching post that he's tied to. That means the highway was close by. By way of application, I believe a lot of times we can get tied to a hitching post. God wants us on His highway, following His direction, following His path, following His will for our lives. But oftentimes we get tied down with things. And that's what I want to talk to you about and preach to you about this morning. Because the Lord wants to set on us. But the reality and the fact is this, He'll never be able to set on me. He'll never be able to set on you as long as we're tied up and restricted to a hitching post. Now, what causes folks? Many things cause folks. I just got three simple principles that I want to give you that keeps people tied up, that keeps them hindered, keeps them restricted, keeps them on the sidelines, if you will, and out of the game. They're on the sidelines. God wants us on the field and in the game. But too many times we get on the sidelines and we get tied down and God's begging. He's pleading, wanting to use our lives. Because here's the thing. The devil's probably convinced some of you that you're useless and God can't use you. But here's the thing. God uses imperfect people. You see it throughout the Word of God. He uses folks with faults. That's all He's got to work with, by the way. He uses imperfect people. So listen, God wants to use you. But if you're tied up and you're restricted, He can't get on you. But God wants to break those chains. He wants to break those things that restrict you. Three things. Did you know some of the things that can tie us down? It can be a person. It can be a problem. And it can be a provocation. Now I want to deal with those three areas right there from the Word of God. Three areas that we get tied up to a hitching post. God wants to ride. God wants to be on us and work in us. But we're tied up over here and we're no service to the Lord because a lot of folks have been tied up by person. They've been tied up by problem and by provocation. I want you to notice, and you can just jot these scriptures down. When it comes to a person, that deals with a who. Now the Bible said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 7, now listen to the wording of the Word of God. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia and he said, ye did run well. Now, that did run well, Brother Danny, is past tense. He tells the church, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now, that who was a person or persons. We don't know exactly who that was. We just know by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, He told Paul to tell that crowd, you know, there was a time when you did run well. In other words, you were on the highway. You were doing the will of God. But now, you're at the hitching post. You've been tied up. You've been restricted. You've been hindered because of a person. Hey, now let me just say this, and I'm going to move on to the next point here in just a second. I wonder, Brother Danny, how many people used to serve God, but they got church hurt? Or maybe somebody within the church said something to them. Maybe they was teaching the Sunday school. Maybe they was running a van route. Maybe they were helping with the kids. Maybe they were singing. Maybe doing this, that, or the other. But some mossy back Baptist that hadn't moved in years hopped up on them and said something to them and got them on the sideline. And now they're restricted. They're sitting over here at the hitching post. They'd love to be in the will of God, but God ain't been on them in so long because somebody hindered them along the way. Can I say this? Nobody ought to have the authority. Nobody ought to have the power to get you on the sidelines of God. Get in the game today and move forward for the glory of God. But sometimes it can be a person, it can be a who. Listen, the Christian life is full of building and it's full of battling. There's times in your life when you build. There's times when you battle. And I don't believe you ever get to a stopping point along the Christian journey, Brother Dennis. I think it's a continual. You're building and then you're battling. You're battling and then you're building for the glory of God. Perfect example, Nehemiah chapter 4, they're building the wall. They're in, and of course, Sanballat and Tobiah. Listen to what the Bible said in Nehemiah chapter 4. Listen to this now, because this goes right along with being hindered by someone or the who. Sometimes that'll bind us. It'll get us on the sideline at the hitching post. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. Now you study out verse number 7, that's coming from every direction. Sanballat was from Samaria to the north, Tobiah with the Ammonites to the east. We know Geshem from the Arabians to the south. The Ashdodites were from the west. Every direction was coming against the people of God, and they're in the game. But somebody was wanting to get them tied up on the sideline at the hitching post. There's a lot of folks that ain't done nothing for God in a long time. If you're doing something for God, they'd like to see you on the sideline. They sure would. You know what? Brother Cameron, nobody is ever jealous of anybody that's behind you. Chew on that just a minute. There's no envy, there's no jealousy of somebody that's behind you. But you let somebody get a little in front of you, jealousy will come up. Somebody get the wiggle jaw. Yeah, man. And the mouse or the click or whatever it is nowadays, gossip has magnified a ton today with social media and all this other stuff going on. But I'm saying there's a lot of people that have hindered the people of God that were in the race, that were running the will of God, but they got restricted because of the who. I'm telling you, friend, you can get on the hitching post, you can get out of the game and get tied up because of a person. The Galatians did it, but I'm glad that Nehemiah had enough God on him. The Bible said in verse number 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against him day and night, because then there's going to be times to build, there's going to be times to battle, but listen, it ain't time to be tied up to a hitching post. God wants us to get in the game. If you ain't in the game, you need to get in the game. And listen, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. But once you get saved, God's got a purpose for your life. He's got a task for your life. Listen, life is too short for you to be on the sideline, not doing nothing for God. God still said in Matthew 5 that we're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world. And listen, it's up to you. It's up to you. But many folks get tied up because of a person, because of a who. But then a lot of folks get tied up because of a problem that comes along. That's the what. You see, the who is the person. The what is the problem. You think the Apostle Paul, as he ministered and he went through and all the things he went through, Brother Harold, you can study out his autobiography as it was penned down by the Holy Spirit. Look at the times where he was perils of water, perils of countrymen, perils of danger, shipwrecks often. He was beaten with rods. I mean, he was stripped over and over again. The problems and the afflictions he went through. If anybody had an excuse, I guess, Brother Dennis, to get on the sideline and tied to a hitching post, been the Apostle Paul. But you know what he did? He said, man, my body bears the marks of the Lord. I believe he's speaking about those beatings that he took. Maybe at Lystra when they drug him outside of the city, left him there to die. And there's problems that come. Now, you might be running for God, and those problems will come, and they'll get you on the sideline. Yeah, man. Might not be a person. Person, the who may not get you, but the what just might. You just remember this now. I think I said a few weeks ago, a trial, an affliction, a problem that'll come, it'll let everybody know what we're made out of. It'll let us know what we're made out of. It'll let everybody else know what we're made out of too. There ain't no pause button in the Christian life. Did y'all get that? There ain't no pause button, and ain't no rewind. And too many try to outrun the will of God. There ain't no fast forward. We just need to be set on play following the will of God and quit putting the pause button when afflictions come. You say, when a preacher, I'll serve God if I've got money in my pocket. I'll serve God if I've got good health. I'll serve God if everything's going all right with my family. No, we ought to serve God regardless. He's given us everything we've got. I mean, he saved our soul. I mean, we live, we move, we have our being because of him. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our service. But if a person, a who, can't get you on the sideline tied up at the hitching post, a what? A problem will. Think about this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17. Paul said, for our light, he called it light affliction, Brother Harold, getting beaten with rods 39 times. Because the Romans thought that if you a man could only take 40, even with a cat of nine tails, or he would beat him with rods either one, they'd stop at 39 because they thought 40 was all a man could take before he died. That's why they done 39 lashes. That's why they beat 39 times. And he called it a light affliction. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now here's the key. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How many of us, by what we see, and we all react, there's several things we can do. We can be reactive, or we can be inactive. One of the two, or we can be proactive. But you think about these things when problems come, we look and we're all affected by it. The things that we see, which are temporal, we've all been affected by things that affect us. Paul said, hey, don't be looking at these things and altering your life and getting tied up over here to a hitching post. He said, look at the things which are not seen. Listen, the temporal things right now, you know what? A human life is really not that long in the space of eternity. You take 60 or 70 years old to live, or 80, and maybe you die of a heart attack or cancer or some kind of disease gets you, or some kind of tragic accident. We're all going to leave out of here one of these days, honey. And the things that we've done for Christ is the only thing that's going to last. But too many times we live for the here and the now. We're motivated by what we see. The Bible said it's temporal. We ought to be motivated by the things that we can't see. But how many people, how many of God's people have quit on God? There was a time when they served God. They were in the game. They were serving. They were following the will of God. But because of a problem, they're tied up. Now listen, how in the world is the Lord going to sit on us? Well, we're going to have to get untied. We're going to have to get unloosed. We're going to have to get unrestrained from where we are. Unhindered. It might be a person. The who. It might be a problem. The what. But what about a provocation? You're saying, now wait a minute, preacher. A provocation, that's a big word. It just simply means to provoke. How many people are tied up over here because of provocation? When I'm talking about provocation, I'm talking about provoking the Lord. Self-inflicted hit. Three-letter word called sin. You come back tonight, and we've been dealing with that. I think last week we started dealing with sin. We looked at what God did. Well, we'll look at what we got to do tonight. And it starts with a confession. Yeah, man. Confess our sin. How many of God's people are tied up to the hitching post? The Lord wants to use you and wants to sit on, but you've had a self-inflicted hit. You've shot yourself in the foot because you sinned against God. You provoked Him, and now you're on the sideline. Don't be scratching your head wondering why you're on the sideline. The reason you're on the sideline, it could have been a person. It could have been a problem. And it could have been a provocation. That's the why, the who, the what, and the why. Why are they on the sideline? It could be that they provoked the God of heaven. Yeah, man. Listen, you got sin in your life. It is a believer, man. God ain't even going to hear your prayer. You read Psalm 66, verse number 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If He ain't going to hear you, He sure ain't going to sit on you, and He sure ain't going to sit on me. Yeah, man, we got to have Him. I got to have Him in me. I got to have Him on me. And you ought to want Him in you and on your life. But if you want the Lord to sit on you, hey, you're going to have to get loose some of these things. Think about this. Psalm 106, verse number 29, in reference to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. Listen to what God said. Psalm 106, verse 29, thus they provoked Him, that's God, to anger with their inventions, and the plague break in upon them. So what do you mean their inventions? We see, we worship all kinds of things down here. A lot of folks say, well, man, idols ain't as bad as they used to be. They're worse than they've ever been. Man, the prophets of Baal ain't got nothing on what we got. Yeah, man. Think about the inventions that we have, manufactured gods all around us. You say, oh, I would never bow down to an idol. Every one of us do. An idol is anything that takes the place of God. We wonder, man, why in the world ain't God in me? Why in the world ain't God on my life? Why don't I get blessed like other people? Why ain't I serving like other people? It's probably because you're tied up. You're tied up, maybe not because of a person, maybe not because of a problem, maybe because of provocation. You look at your schedule, you got this to do, and you got this to do, and you got this to do. By the time you get done, well, God, I'll give you just a little minute portion of my life. Man, he wants it all. He's worthy to get it all. The only reason we can live, move, and have our beings because of him. Too many times we worship the creation more than the creator. Yeah, man. Maybe it's a child, maybe a job, maybe a house, maybe a boat, maybe a recreation. You could go on and on and on. But there's many things that take the place of God in our life, and people are tied up, and God ain't going to sit on you. God ain't going to use you until you get under, or until you get away from that restriction, from that hindrance. Untie yourself from a self-inflicted hit, because the people of God, they provoke the Lord with their inventions. But I ain't done. Think about this. Psalm 78, listen to this, verse number 56. Yet they, and again that's Israel, yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. Those graven images, some of them had even made, those manufactured gods, those idols, the things that take the place of God in their life. And God's not going to sit on an individual like that because of provocation. You see, folks are on the sideline, just like this, tied up to a hitching post. God wants us on the highway. He wants me, he wants you out on the highway. But how in the world does the Lord sit on you? How can he sit on you? Well, in order for him to sit on that colt, the colt had to be loosed. The colt had to be untied. And it's real simple for us to understand. How in the world is the Lord going to sit on us? How's he going to work in our life? We're going to have to get untied. Now, this ain't an exhaustive list of the things that tie us down. But I know this, it could be a person. And it might have been a long time ago. You say, preacher, I used to serve God. What about now? Why ain't you serving now? It's a good question. God's give you breath. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan for your life. But maybe a person has said something to you, maybe done something just ungodly, and now you're on the sideline. You're tied up. Listen, God wants to get on you again. But you're going to have to come. You're just going to have to get away from that. You know what? Sometimes you just got to, and it's hard to forget. It is hard to forget. I grant you. I get that. But listen, the best thing we can do in our Christian life is to forget those things and forgive people that have hurt us. Don't let somebody, again, nobody ought to have that authority over your life to control you. Even long after the thing had happened, whatever they said to you, whatever they done to you. Man, it ain't worth the Lord not sitting on you. So get untied from that person. Get untied from that problem. That problem that's made you hit the pause button. Made you quit on God. Get back in the game and serve God. Get untied and serve the Lord. But it could be a provocation. Maybe your mom and daddy don't know it. Maybe the preacher don't know it. You got everybody fooled. You dress right, you talk right, you act right on Sunday. You talk right, you act right, and do all that on Wednesday. Deep down inside, you got some hidden things in your life. Maybe a young person. Maybe a middle-aged, maybe even a senior adult. God knows what you've been talking about on the phone this week. God knows what you've been looking at this week. God knows what you've been doing. And you're sitting over here and you've convinced yourself, yeah, I'm in the will of God, but you're tied to the fence post. Yeah, man. Now, God wants to get on you, but he ain't going to get on you. Because the reason you're tied up, that's the why you provoked the God of heaven. Yeah, man, because of sin. But here's a good thing. You can come to him today, take those shackles off, take those chains off. God wants to you. Just like he used that colt and he rode him into Jerusalem. He had a purpose for his life. Man, he's got a purpose for my life. He's got a purpose for your life. But get untied from that person, from that problem, from that provocation, the who, the what, and the why. Today, take it off and serve God to the fullest. As we stand all over the house, Sister Caitlin's coming. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to present your word this morning. God, I've done my best to deliver the message of the hour. I pray, God, that your word would fall on good, fertile soil. Now, God, you know every need that's in this building. You know every need of the individuals that are listening by way of the live stream of the Facebook. I pray for that individual that's never been saved, never been born again. I pray, God, that today would be the day that they turn to Christ as their Savior. But I pray for the child of God. Lord, there ain't no doubt in my mind somebody's listening to me today, and maybe they used to run well, but they've been hindered. Maybe it was a place. Maybe it was a person. Maybe it was a problem. Maybe it's provocation. God, help them to deal with that today. Lord, help them to see you want to use them. But God, help them to get untied from the hitching post. Help them to get in your will today. God, I beg and I plead in Jesus' name. Have your will and way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner,
And if you're sorry for your sin and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask Him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked Him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.